All right, I'd like to call the December 1st, 2022 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board recorder. Thank you. Well, now the board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, from the city of Beaverton, Commissioner Tivnan.
Yes, here.
Okay. City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah.
I'm here.
And TVWD, Commissioner Duggan.
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
All right. The first thing on today's agenda is Mr. Kreska with the famous general manager's report.
Famous. Thank you, Chair Judah, and good afternoon, commissioners. As we always do with the general manager's report, we'll start off with a safety minute, and this one is about the cold temperatures coming and preventing frozen pipes. So just a quick couple of reminders about that. First is to remember to take some preventative measures to help reduce the risk of frozen water pipes and the resulting property damage from that. So how do we go about doing that? First, we've got three of them here for you to prevent freezing pipes is first to insulate. So on the outside, disconnect hoses and cover or wrap outside faucets and foundation vents and insulate pipes in unheated areas. If necessary, keep water flowing. If you have pipes that are prone to freezing and uninsulated walls, maintain a steady drip of water from one indoor faucet. And another good idea in similar situations is open cabinets on the inside. Open the kitchen and bathroom cabinet doors to allow warmer air to circulate around the plumbing, especially if the sink is located on an exterior wall. Now, if your pipes do freeze, how do you go about making them unfrozen? First is turn on the faucet, open a faucet to relieve any pressure that can help prevent the pipe from bursting. Apply heat carefully to the frozen area. Slowly apply heat using an electric heating pad, hair dryer, or portable space heater. Continue to do so until full water pressure is restored. That might take about 30 minutes. Leave the faucet on for a few minutes after to clear out any thawed ice. And then check all the faucets and prevent pipes from freezing in the future. Check each faucet in your home for frozen pipes. If problems persist, contact a plumber and insulate the pipes. So with that, that's today's safety minute to avoid frozen pipes. Now we'll continue on with the rest of the general manager's report. As we always do, we'll start off with our permitting and communications updates. So the Willamette Water Supply Program permitting efforts, again, still remain very active. Attached to this general manager's report is a tabulation of the permits and approvals recently granted and the status of those currently in process. A couple of major highlights for you this month are the Oregon Department of State Lands, or DSL, has approved the permit modification for the Tualatin River major blow-off submitted in August. Staff continues to work with Army Corps in their review of the plans for the blow-off. Army Corps staff have indicated no public noticing will be required for this modification. The Corps has forwarded the permit modification request and plans to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Department of Environmental Quality for their consultation and comments. The program permitting team has been meeting with ODFW staff to respond to questions and provide clarifications about the plans. On December 9th, the program permitting team will provide ODFW staff with a tour of the blow-off site for a better understanding of the challenging topography and other related constraints out there on the site. The other permitting update is that from the city of Sherwood, regarding our water treatment plant project, they've issued 7 building permits for that project. An additional 13 building permits are anticipated to be issued by January of next year for this project. On the communication side of things, on December 5th, program communication staff will be making a presentation to Wilsonville City Council on our outreach efforts to the city or in the city. Presentation will include an update on the raw water facility project, our pipeline projects, including the upcoming PLM 1.3 project, improvements required in the ground lease, and other related work in the city. Staff will also review ongoing future communications efforts with communication efforts with the residents in the area and businesses, along with coordination efforts with any other affected agencies. Next up is our quarterly financial reports. Task 4.D of the annual work plan requires a managing agency to prepare quarterly financial reports and provide them to the board as part of this packet. Attached to this general manager's report is the quarterly financial statement for the period ending September 30, 2022. If you've had a moment to check that quarterly financial report, it shows that we are below budget, which in some respects is good. In other respects, it may indicate that we're not spending money fast enough, meaning we're not building things fast enough. I'll assure you that all of our projects remain on track, but some of the invoicing lags. For example, our county projects bill on a quarterly basis, and so that may look make things look slowly. In addition, some of our county projects, the road work precedes our pipeline work. So some of the big spend is going to be backloaded toward the second part of this year. So anyways, so not to worry, we're on top of it. But if you had a chance to look at the quarterly financial report, if you caught that, that's just a heads up about that particular issue. Next up on the board elections, section 5.3 of the WWSS Commission Intergovernmental Agreement states that the WWSS board shall elect from its members a chair and vice chair at the first board meeting of each calendar year. We're not anticipating holding a January 2023 board meeting. Our first meeting next calendar year will be in February. As a reminder, at our January 2022 meeting, so the January meeting this year, we discussed standardizing on two-year terms for the officers. Currently, both Chair Judah and Vice Chair Duggan are in the second of two-year terms. And then finally, our construction status update. Attached to this general manager's report is a tabulation of the status of all the active construction projects. And to provide a more complete understanding of the work underway, we will share a presentation of recent photos from these construction sites, and a copy of this presentation is attached to this general manager's report. So let's move on with the slideshow of all of our active construction projects. We currently have 13 projects in construction. That's all of them listed here. And as usual, I'll start at the south at the raw water facility and then continue up north, looping around back on the MPE project. So starting off with the raw water facility project, a lot of work still going on there, of course. You'll see here GMP 1.5 and GMP 2. What those refer to, GMP, that's guaranteed maximum price. 1.5 is kind of an interim project, an opportunistic project that we targeted getting some work done when the weather was good last summer. And so we have a separate GMP for that to get that work done. GMP number two is basically everything remaining to finish the raw water facilities project. So regarding GMP 1.5, we've completed our fine grading and 2-inch lift, our first lift of asphalt on the upper site, completed the rough-in of the bioswales on the upper site, completed installation and testing of all the upper site utility work, so that enabled the paving because all the utility work below grade was complete. Completed installation of the log steps and landscaping at the lower site, so basically down to the riverbank. Completed permeable asphalt and concrete curb and cutoff wall down to that lower area as well. And reopened the park to the public, continued periodic landscape maintenance. Regarding GMP number two, so that's the upcoming work, basically the paperwork part, which is all of the submittals review, and our electrical subcontractor is now mobilized to site, which is a really good thing. So moving on to the photos. So this shows, this photo is an aerial, obviously, looking generally north or northeast, and in the foreground there is what we call the upper site. And so obviously all the black area is the first 2-inch lift of asphalt. So again, indicating that all of the below ground utility work is complete. The area in the center there is the space remaining for our electrical building and our surge control facilities and our generators that we will now start building. Next slide. So this slide here is basically turning the camera around and looking back down towards the Willamette River. So this is an area looking towards the south. Obviously, the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant building is on our facility is on the upper left hand part of this photo, and in the center of the photo is all the park facilities. So this shows that the park restoration is complete and now the park has been reopened for public use. So another good milestone achieved. Next slide. Moving north now up to our water treatment plant project. Obviously a lot of work going on there. continuing our mass excavation and embankment fill, and still some more drilling and controlled rock blasting, rock crushing, temporary electrical services in construction now, a lot of critical submittals being reviewed, and continued work on our critical path method baseline schedule. And our first concrete placement was done. We've got one photo of that. So next slide. So this photo, in the toward the top of the photo there is Southwest 124th Avenue. In the center of the photo is, you see basically kind of a circular outline. That's our clear well. So our clear well is our 10 million gallon clear well. And the rectangular feature to the right of it is our finished water pump station wet well. So we're getting ready to have our first concrete pours there. And you see the two depressions in that circular area, the circular pad for the foundation for our clear well. The depression there, or yeah, depression there on the left hand side is our inlet pipe into the clear well, and the depression on the right hand side of the circle is basically the exit from the clear well to the finished water pump station. So getting closer to pouring to the beginning the construction of our clear well as well. Next up is our equalization basin, and so there it is, square equalization basin shown there in the foreground. And again, another depression there, kind of on the right, lower right-hand side there of that square feature. That again is where our return water pump station is for our equalization basin. And obviously there in the background is more the grading, paving, rock crushing, drilling, blasting works that's still going on as we're getting the site ready for the remaining, for a lot of remaining construction. Next slide. And so finally, I think this is one last photo of the whole water treatment plant site. And now we're kind of on the southern area, looking more north up towards 124th Avenue and 12th and Sherwood Road. In the foreground there is our trailer and staging area. So we finally have our final location for all of the trailers that'll be there for all of our construction activities. And there's still some building out of the staging area and some other features that'll be working on there for all of the construction staff that will be working on our site. Next slide. So, oh, one more here. And so this is our first concrete placement at the water treatment plant. So the concrete placement on the site obviously starts at the lowest area. Lowest area on this particular water treatment plant is the bottom part of our UV facility. So this is just kind of an exciting moment for us that we have additional craft and additional subs that are occurring and working on the site, including rebar, forming, concrete placement, all of that work just getting started now. Next slide. Moving on back to the pipeline projects. So just to the north of our water treatment plant project is our PLM 4.2 in Tualatin and Sherwood Road. This is one of those partnership projects with Washington County. And as such, the road work precedes our pipeline work. So right now, the work that's occurring on this one is road widening along the south side of Tualatin and Sherwood Road and retaining walls and utility relocations and more paperwork for us, which is the program the WWSP submittals from the contractor. Next slide. And so I think the only photo I have for you of this project here today is just some of the road work that's occurring in that area. Again, to widen Tualatin and Sherwood Road, to basically move the traffic over once the roadway is widened so that we can begin our pipeline work, which will happen next year. Next slide. Moving now to the west, PLM 4.1, continuing down Tualatin and Sherwood Road, or Highway 99 crossing. On this one, we've completed that crossing of Highway 99. Continuing to install our 66-inch water line in the trenchless casing and open cut as well. I've got some photos of that. And continuing the road widening work on Tualatin and Sherwood Road. So next slide. So this slide is looking generally south of the aerial photo. In the foreground here is Roy Rogers Road, and at the upper right there is just a little bit of Highway 99 that you can see. So that's right at that intersection there that we went trenchless underneath. And so our pipeline is continuing back towards us. So it's continuing north generally is the direction there that you see the excavator there at the bottom of the photo and the vertical shoring or installation of our pipe. In the next photo here, we'll show you that all the pipe that's staged along this construction area. So right in this pretty narrow part of Roy Rogers Road through Sherwood there, through the very north part of Sherwood, We have all of our pipeline stage there in preparation for installation as part of this PLM 4.1 project. I think at this moment, this photo was taken a few weeks ago, and the contractor's making great progress that I think all of this pipeline work, all this pipe that you see on the above grade now has now been installed. So they're making great progress on this project. Next slide. Continuing to the west and north is PLM 4.4 through the rest of that narrow part of Sherwood. On this one, more paperwork for us, submittals and RFIs, requests for informations, because the county is still working on their part of the work, which is expanding the road and building sound walls. Next slide, please. So I think the only photo I have for you of this is really sound wall construction. So these are the county's contractors to install the columns that will support the panels for the sound walls, because they're expanding that roadway closer to these homes, and the sound walls need to be constructed first. So that's the work that's occurring in that area right now. Pipeline work in this one will probably start in the spring. Now in PLM 4.3, now we're finally out of Sherwood and continuing out on County Road up Ray Rogers Road. A lot of work happening here. Access and haul roads, the waterline construction, secant pile installation for the north and south shafts have been completed. Spoils removal from both shafts is ongoing. A lot of open cut pipeline installation has occurred. 2,145 feet of the 66-inch pipe has been installed. And we've also constructed temporary access for the wildlife refuge during our construction activities. Next slide. And so this is the north tunnel shaft. So it's that little circle that you see right there in the center of it. At least it looks like a little circle from this aerial. I believe it's about 35 feet in diameter. And since it's the north one, this one's about 100 feet deep. So this is really quite a structure to be constructed to enable our trenchless crossing of the Tualatin River. And so they've been working on removing all of the soil from this from the shaft, and they're going to be pouring up basically a concrete plug at the very bottom of it. Next slide. And so this is the construction of the shaft on the south side of the river, and basically just more of the activity associated with that. The north shaft was constructed first. This one's being constructed seven. So obviously you notice a lot more construction activity on this one at this time. Next slide. And so as well, as I mentioned in the bullet points, is a lot of open cut pipeline construction is also occurring on this particular project. So this contract is really making a lot of progress. And this issue has been addressed and resolved, but if you can kind of squint your eyes there and kind of toward the bottom of this photo, you see basically, yeah, thank you, Joel. You see kind of the, that's the osprey nest. So essentially what looks like a power pole. It's not a power pole, but it's basically a power pole with an osprey nest on top of it. And that was it was a known feature, and we knew it needed to be removed, but the timing of it just got a little bit challenging. But our contractor worked up to it, and eventually they were able to move the pole, well, basically confirm that there wasn't any active nesting taking place. And then when that was done, they were able to move the pole and then continue in our pipeline construction work and replace the pole. Next slide. Now, moving north again, up to Reservoir 1.0, PLM 5.3, a lot of activity again on the reservoir project, continued rock excavation and haul off, continued construction of the soil and nail rock bolt retaining wall, continued excavation of the 66-inch yard piping and valve vaults, and installation of 12 and 18-inch stormwater lines, and preparing for the water tank subgrade, preparing the construction of the east tank. On PLM 5.3, continued installation of the 66-inch water line. To date, we have almost a third of the total length installed, 6,400 feet. Continued work on our ground improvements on the north side of Farmington Road, deep soil mixing, and excavating the launch and receiving shafts for crossing Farmington Road. Next slide. So this is our aerial looking west over our reservoir site. So in the foreground there, you can just make out the circular feature for our east tank that we'll be constructing. There will be another tank planned. There is another tank planned on the what we call the west tank. But that one obviously won't be constructed a part of this work. But we're creating the pad for it, making sure that everything is in place for it to be constructed in the future. And our staging area just on the other side of Grabhorn Road. Grabhorn Road goes from left to right, generally in the center of this photo. Yep. Thank you, Joelle. And continues up that way. Yep. All right. Next slide. This shows a little closer up look at our retention wall. So this is what we call our soil nail and rock bolt retention wall. So kind of the first levels of this wall were constructed using soil nails because the type of material on the shallower elevations is looser. And as we continued on deeper in our excavation, it turns into rock. So we use rock bolts. So it's a combination of soil nails and rock bolts used to construct this retaining wall. And it's done in lifts. And so you can see that the equipment there in the center of this photo is installing the rock bolts for the retention wall. And we'll have one final lift of shotcrete to place to build this retention wall. But this is about a 30-foot tall wall, and I believe now at this time it is essentially complete. So again, making good progress on this project. Next slide. So believe it or not, this is a very large excavator, and it's building a pipe trench. And so in this trench will be our inlet and outlet pipelines for our reservoir. So this just gives you a kind of a feel of the scale of the facilities that we're constructing here, that it's very large trench work because our pipelines are very large and we have some space in between them. But to the left of this photo will be the pad essentially for our east tank that we'll be constructing. And then the right side will be the pad for our future west tank. Next slide. Now we're onto the pipeline part of it, so our PLM 5.3. So in this photo here, kind of crossing from lower left to upper right is Farmington Road. So in the foreground there, the road coming from the bottom is Clark Hill. And so that kind of gives you an orientation of where you're at. Just in the upper right-hand corner, you can see a little bit of Farmington Gardens. And so what the equipment here in the foreground here is constructing our receiving pit. Yeah, our receiving shaft for going trenchless across Farmington Road. So it'll go trenchless from where you see that equipment, kind of generally to the upper left, across to the other part of our excavation over there, where we are doing our deep soil mixing work to stabilize the soils there and improve the seismic resilience of our pipeline in the area. Next slide. And more PLM 5.3 waterline construction. This is an aerial looking north, so looking up towards the South Hillsborough area in our PLW 1.3 project. So this just shows more of our 66-inch waterline construction kind of in the Riggs Road area as indicated here in the legend. Next slide. Now up to PLW 1.2, so north of TV Highway and Cornelius Pass Road up to Francis. We're making good progress on installing our 48-inch waterline between York Street and Augusta Drive on Corn Pass. Completed a trenchless crossing of Reedville Creek. Soundwall pilaster installation on Corn Pass Road and storm drain relocation on Cornelius Pass Road. So this is also a combination project or an opportunity project with Washington County. They've done their roadway expansion, so we're making good progress in our pipeline installations. So next slide. So this shows the finishing of the Reedville Creek crossing. So pretty deep excavation here. We've installed our casing pipe underneath Reedville Creek, and the yellow pipe that you see going in there is our carrier pipe, our 48-inch carrier pipe, with casing spacers to keep the pipe centered inside the casing. Next slide. This just shows another view of our 48-inch waterline installation, and it shows also the pipe zone shaft backfill in preparation of launch shaft. So launch shaft is what you see in the background of this photo. And you also see a lot of geotextile fabric there kind of hanging on either side. So that is used basically to wrap the subgrade that we have to keep it in place in case of any seismic activity. So it improves the seismic resilience of our pipeline. Next slide. Now we're making the clockwise loop all the way around to the other part of the county, to our MPE 1.1 project, our our partnership project with the City of Beaverton in Western Boulevard. So in this one, our 48-inch water line is essentially complete, just shy of the connection into Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway. So we were continuing work on test stations, blow-off assemblies, combination air relief valve, appurtenance piping. We're continuing our installation of Beaverton's 16-inch water main in Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway, and service connections and tie-ins on Arctic. Again, that's the City of Beaverton connections. And city stormwater paving curb improvements along Western Avenue. Again, as part of that roadway project with the City of Beaverton. Next slide. So here's another job you don't want. It requires very special people to do this. So this is this gentleman is inside our 48-inch pipeline, mortaring the joints. So this is each of our pipeline sections is about, I believe, 48 feet long. So about every 48 feet, there is a connection, there's a joint like this, that we need an individual like this that knows what they're doing to climb in there with the mortar. So you see 5-gallon buckets of mortar there that need to be brought in with them. And they need to very carefully and very expertly complete the mortar joint connection there so that we have a solid and secure pipeline there that will last a very, very, very long time. So we're really thankful for these specialty contractors that do this very difficult work, but it is inspiring to see people that are willing to do this kind of stuff. Next slide. So this shows this is a flow meter vault. So this is located, if you know the area in Western, you know where Bi-Mart is and where Kaiser is. And so we have a large vault right in that area that will measure all of the flow going from this pipeline into the Washington County supply line for TBWD. So there's a lot of equipment in here. Toward the right end of this photo, you see a pale blue feature. Yep, thank you. That is our magnetic flow meter. So that's kind of the business end of this as far as doing all the flow measurement. Then we have a couple of butterfly valves, and one of those butterfly valves will be outfitted with a seismically actuated valve to protect the system in case of a seismic event and a loss of pressure on the downstream side. Next slide. Now onto the MPE 1.2 project. So this one's on Allen Boulevard and Shoals Ferry across 217. On this one, we completed our tunnel number one at Lower Fano Creek. More 16-inch Beaverton water line on Shoals Ferry Road and Denny Road. We had a closure of Denny Road for a period of time. Continuing our 48-inch open cut water line on Shoals up to Denny, and our pressure and flow control facility earthwork and utility preparation is well underway. Next slide. So just some detailed photos here of our 48-inch pipeline construction. So this one is preparation for a shrink wrap installation. So essentially at these, so you saw a photo earlier of what occurs on the inside of the pipe where they have to mortar the joints. On the outside of the pipe where these joints occur, what we do is we heat up the pipe and we shrink wrap it to protect it from corrosion in the future. The balance of the pipe, the rest of it has an epoxy coating, so it's good. But in these joint connections, we have a shrink wrap that we put around it to protect the pipe from corrosion. And heating the pipe prior to application of the shrink wrap is a critical element of making it a successful installation. Next slide. This is a simple photo of showing the part of the 16-inch water line for Beaverton that's being installed on Denny Road. So again, we had a closure of Denny Road for a period of time. That was pretty tough, but it really helped us get through that area as quickly as possible. And I think we've reopened Denny at this point, so I think we're good there. Next slide. And just another detailed photo showing our carrier pipe installation at tunnel number one. So this is at the Lower Fano Creek crossing. So this is on the west side of 217. We've got two Fano Creek crossings. One is up near Allen Boulevard, Allen and Shoals, and the other Fano Creek crossing is on the west side of 217. And so this one's been completed and our carrier pipe installed inside that casing underneath Fano Creek. Next slide. Oh, that's it. So appreciate your patience while I walk you through all of the construction activity occurring at this time, and if there's any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
Excellent presentation, Dave. Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. Kraska? And Dave, that's the end of the general manager's report, is that correct?
It also is the end of the general manager's report, yes.
Okay. Allison has a question.
Yeah, thank you. So much is going on. It's amazing that we're under budget. How do you spend money faster than you already are with so many different contractors and crews and laborers? It's incredible. I don't know how you do that kind of internal piping work, but thank you for sharing the photos and thanks to people that exist like that. But that was one question I had. I believe it was the last Joint Water Commission meeting that they just happened to say somebody had gotten injured on a site and we didn't get a lot of details on it, but it was an update. And I'm curious if there's been any kind of safety incidents across all these different locations, either amongst the workers or, you know, folks in cars that are not heeding warnings or pedestrians, or has everything been going smoothly in that regard?
Yeah, Councilor Tipton, thank you for your question. We have a very strict and robust safety culture on the program. And we have dedicated professionals that is their job, is to just manage and monitor safety practices on the program. And given that we're in year 7 of the program, it's pretty mature at this point, and it's mature to the standpoint that our contractors are now on board with it. I'd say in the earlier years of the program, some of the contractors were a bit resistant. They were unfamiliar with our safety culture that we've had. But now they're on board with it, and they're fans of it. They actually appreciate that we have a very robust safety culture. That said, we still do have incidents that occur. The vast majority of them are minor, you know, where people might cut a finger or something like that, and they'll need a Band-Aid. But even that gets reported. Even that gets recorded and reported and acknowledged. And what do we learn from that? How do we avoid that? We just want people to go home safe at the end of the day. It's one of our sayings. So I'd say broadly, we've had very good success in terms of keeping people safe. There have been occasional incidents of twisted ankles, of bee stings is another thing that's happened from time to time. But generally, it's been good. There have been, right now we're also in a difficult part of our construction in that we're doing work in all the busy roads now. Mm-hmm. and so it's happened a couple of times where you might have noticed in some of our photos that again, another safety standard that we have applied on the program is where we're doing work in busy roads like that, we don't just use like plastic cones or plastic barrels. We actually use K-rail, Jersey barriers. We use concrete barriers there to protect our crews from cars that are driving right next to it. It does add cost. It is obviously heavier, more expensive to move these types of barriers. But it is a much safer sort of work environment for our crews. With all of that, though, there have been a couple of times that our crews have noticed that overnight, a car crashed into those barriers, and the car will be gone and everything. But our crews will notice that the concrete barriers have been shifted out of place. And so then a police report is filed to let them know that, hey, this happened. Obviously, no one was hurt or anything. It was in the middle of the night when our construction was shut down. But that does happen. It's happened a couple of times, I know. But off the top of my head, that's the information that I have for you. But if there's any follow-up you'd like, I can provide more information.
No, thank you for that. It's remarkable given how many different touch points this project has, and like you said, against things like 217 and other areas where we have so much hustle and bustle going on. And that's a real testament to the culture that, and training, I'm sure, and just constant communication that you're encouraging on each of the sites. But thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the board's support on all of that, too. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Tivnon. Are there any other questions for Mr. Kraska at this time? All right, that concludes the general manager's report for today. The next thing on our agenda is public comment. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Annette, do we have any person or persons who would like to comment today?
No requests today.
All right, thank you. As a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests. Next item is our consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. The minutes we have to approve today are from our October 6, 2022 meeting. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? And please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and the second for this action.
Commissioner Allison Dunn from Beaverton, I move that we approve the consent agenda.
This is Commissioner Duggan. I second that motion.
All right, thank you. We have a motion to second. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
Okay, City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much. The next item today is our business agenda items. Item A on our business agenda is consider approving the contract 2023-027 with Carlton Testing, Inc. for WTP 1.0 materials testing and special inspections. Mr. Brish will present the staff report.
Okay, good afternoon, Chair Judah and commissioners. So again, we're talking about the third-party materials testing and special inspection contract for our water treatment plant project. Next slide. So outline for the presentation, I'll give you a brief overview about what this topic's about, talk about our procurement approach to get the services under contract, talked about the scoring that we did as part of that procurement approach, the cost, and then just end with the requested action. Next, please. So for the water treatment plant, you saw the pictures that Dave showed. So it's a pretty massive site, and there's just going to be a lot of activity going on. It is just scaling up week after week. And as part of our approach to address quality, it's to require this independent materials testing and structural inspections. And in this case, we're talking about just the work that's associated with the water treatment plant. So there's going to be lots of activities going on all around the project that needs these types of inspection services. And so our normal approach for our projects would be just order a task, just to issue a task order on a project basis from a master services agreement that we have with the different testing firms in our area. However, for the water treatment plant, because the scope is so large, it really exceeds our limit on the ability to do that. So based on what's been identified through the local contracting review board, LCRB, we can only do those task orders in amounts up to $250,000. But because this project, this particular services for this project is larger, we had to do a more formal procurement approach, and we went through what we call the best value selection method, and I'll describe that in a coming up slide. And also just to point out that the firms that we asked to propose have already been pre-qualified for the program to provide these types of services for us. Next slide. So as part of the procurement approach, we developed a request for proposal or an RFP document, and that was published back in August. And the typical place that it gets posted is in the Oregon DJC. And when that was put out, we had our four testing firms in the area, Carlson, PSI, Northwest, and the Clare Company. They all asked for a copy of the RFP document. So after we put an RFP out, we typically make ourselves available to the firms in what we call these proprietary meetings. So it gives them an opportunity to talk to us about, you know, specific questions they had on the RFP or, you know, unique approach ideas that they had. In this case, none of the firms elected to do that, and probably because at this point it's pretty straightforward on how we conduct our business related to this, and really no needed follow-up. And then, so kind of how this works, it's kind of with the best value approach, it's kind of a two-part approach. And so there's this written narrative that these firms have to provide, and we do some independent scoring related to their approach. I'll talk about that on the next slide. And then separate from that, once we're done with kind of just reviewing the content of their proposal, there's more of the traditional public bid opening, and that occurred towards the end of October, you see there. Next slide. So with our best value scoring approach, there's points that are allocated for non-cost as well as the cost part of it. And for most cases up to this point, cost was about 70% of the total value. However, in this case, we lowered that to about to 60% of the total points possible, because we really wanted to understand the capacity and the approach of these firms for the water treatment plant. In particular, it's a huge capacity draw on their staff with all these on-call services that are needed. And so, you know, you can see the different bullets there that we score for the non-cost part. So it's the firm experience, qualifications, key staff qualifications, and the way they organize their team. Dave talked about our approach to health and safety, and it is really a cultural approach. And so we want to hear their specific approach ideas for health and safety as it relates to their work. And then finally, their understanding and approach. And throughout that, all that non-cost part, we really worked in the complexity of this water treatment plant and the capacity requirements. And so it allowed us to truly get a sense for, you know, how are they going to be able to staff this and address this. And we also had follow-up, actually, questions for them following receiving the proposals. And so you can see the scoring there between the three firms. And so Northwest had the highest, so they got the full 400 points. But only 1 point less was Carlson, and then PSI was under them. So for the non-cost, basically Northwest and Carlson were about the same. But then you see the cost part. So this makes up 60% of the total scoring. And Carlson came in at the lowest proposal amount, just over that $1.2 million. And you can see the prices for the other firms that proposed. And if you take those now to those two scoring points and you add them up, that's how you identify the top-ranked proposer. And so in this case, Carlson was, again, almost the top-ranked, right up there with Northwest on the non-cost. But it also turns out that they were the lowest cost, and so hence Carlson Testing was identified as the highest scoring respondent. Next slide. So this talks about the estimated cost in the contract and the recommended contingency. So if we take their price at that over $1.2 million for these services. For all our projects, when we begin construction, we typically add a 10% project contingency to the contract amount. And so you'll see that total estimated cost at about $1.36 million for these services. The next line you see is the number that we are holding in the previous baseline for this inspection services. So it was identified at over $4.6 million. And so that was established as a percentage of construction, which is kind of a typical procedure until you get into the detailed scope requirements. And so you can see that there's actually money now that we'll be able to return back to management reserve because the cost is coming in what we were previously holding in the baseline. So actually, that's a good thing to put money back into our overall management reserve. And then I guess another point I want to make related to this. So as our team kind of developed the RFP, they really went through and did a detailed accounting of, well, what are all the different types of inspection services that are required and what's the number of them? And so we were able to provide that to the proposers. And so we feel like we've really, you know, very clearly outlined the requirements, and which again allows our proposers to really dial in on their costs that they provided. Next slide. And so what we typically do when we talk about costs for different parts of work, we take that number, so in this case the $1.36 million, and we break it down as an estimated share by partner. And the way we split it up is based on kind of the ownership percentage that was identified in the previous baseline, the baseline 7 document. And so you can see the estimated share for TVWD, Hillsboro, and City of Beaverton. Next slide. So I think this next one's the requested action. So we're asking the board today to consider approving this contract for Carlson testing, the amount you see there, the $1.236 million for these material testing and special inspection services for our water treatment plant project. And again, because it came in under the previously budgeted amount for this scope of work, also asking to be able to transfer that difference, that $3.3 million back into management reserve. I think the next slide is just for questions. So I'd be happy to take any questions or address any comments that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Prince. Are there any questions for him today on this presentation or the information?
This is Commissioner Duggan. I just wanted to thank staff for getting back to me about a curiosity question regarding the request for proposal process and the firms. I really appreciated that. If the question is ready or ripe, I can provide a motion.
I see no other hands, and Commissioner Tivnan is not unmuted, so I don't think she has any questions. So go for it, Jim. Commissioner Duggan.
Okay. Commissioner Duggan moves to approve contract 2023-27 for $1,236,180 with Carlton Testing for the WTP 1.0 materials and testing special inspection for the Willamette Water Supply Program, and transferring $310,572 into the management reserve. Sorry I messed that up, but I so move.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Duggan, a second by Commissioner Tivadon on this action. I stated your names for you. The board recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsboro?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion passes. So, excellent job on being under budget. We need to promote those people that did that. I'm sure Mr. Kraska had nothing to do with that, so somebody else needs to get the credit there. All right. The next item is information. The first item A is for Ms. Bennett to present the staff report on business agenda items planned for February WWSS Commission Board meetings. Ms. Bennett.
Thank you, Commissioners. So for our February agenda, we have two action items. As was already outlined in today's general manager's report, it is a requirement to elect the commission chair and vice chair at the first meeting of the calendar year. So we will hold the elections of officers at our February board meeting. The second item is the Willamette Water Supply System annual work plan and budget for fiscal year 24. and the Willamette Water Supply Program Capital Improvement Plan, which is also known as Baseline 8. The program team has been developing a rebaseline schedule and budget, which is reflective of the current market conditions and the construction environment. An initial draft of Baseline 8 is scheduled to be provided to the partners on or around December 23rd, and the official Baseline 8 will be released in January 2023. In alignment with that updated baseline, program staff are preparing the Willamette Water Supply System Fiscal Year 24 Annual Work Plan and Budget. This annual work plan will provide the proposed scope of work to be performed by the managing agency for fiscal year 24 in accordance with the WWSS intergovernmental agreement. So as early as the February board meeting, staff will present those two plans with a recommendation to the board for their approval. And those are the two action items for February. Are there any questions I can answer?
Not seeing any raised hand features or anybody chiming in for a question. So thank you very much, Ms. Bennett, for that information. Item B under our information items is that our next board meeting is scheduled for February 2nd, 2023 versus Teams. So that again will be a virtual meeting, not in person. Today's communication and non-agenda items, we have none of those for today's meeting. Is there anything else that needs to come before the commission or questions or comments today before we adjourn?
I think we're good. I'm a little hurt though that I'm not given any credit at all for coming below in the materials and testing services though.
You've been involved with all the ones that we're over budget on, so.
Okay.
I didn't want to jump to a conclusion that you might be involved with one that was under budget.
I wasn't, so it's fair.
All right. Hey, and Dave, I will give you credit. I love the presentations you do about the progress with the pictures and that stuff. I think it's great. And I said this before when you first started doing it. I really hope it's easy for all of our ratepayers and customers and people involved to go onto our site and see those. I know they don't quite get the same narrative unless you're actually rehearsing and reading that as you're going through the slides, but I just love those things. So as Commissioner Tibnon says, it shows that there's a lot of irons in the fire and what an adventure this is to put in a 31-mile pipeline.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, there being no further business before the board, today's meeting is adjourned. I want to wish you all happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, or whatever else needs to be said there, and we'll see you afterwards.